This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening to you. It is Tuesday night, not even evening, June 4th at 9:42 p.m. I'm Boiler Dowd. I'm going to try something new tonight. I talked a bit about it. I threatened it a little bit that I would do a little bit of a bourbon review. That's funny. First person that says hey is one of our friends of our family, Ava Helvey. Ava, glad you're here. You shouldn't be watching this. This is not a topic that you should care about, but you know, your dad and I do like bourbon. So tonight I'm going to talk a little about Purdue sports. I'm going to talk a little bit about bourbon. And there's a couple stories, not a whole bunch, not like last week where it seems like things were popping off pretty regularly around the Purdue sports world. But there's a couple things to talk about before I get into the bourbon stuff. And I plan to tonight, as the title said, I'm going to review Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond bourbon, just straight bourbon whiskey. It's a good one. I'm told. I've actually never had this. I've had Heaven Hill before. I've never had Bottled and Bond. So this will be fun. But first, before I get into this, before I dig in to the bourbon talk, let me talk a little bit about Purdue sports and some of the things that got my attention just reading various sources over the last few days. First one is if you go on the On3 website at all, they release their extra early college basketball rankings, and they had Purdue landed at number 19. I think this is one of the more educated top 25s we've seen so far. Granted, we don't know everything about these teams. We don't know where they're going to be in the fall. And we still don't know everything about Purdue, even about how they're handling all the scholarship issue. Supposedly that has been wrapped up and put to bed behind closed doors and quietly, but nothing's been publicly announced about what Purdue's going to do with that extra scholarship player. There is no word and no hint and even no leaning that any of Purdue's sensational six freshmen are going to take a prep school year or anything like that, or remove their scholarship, which is really good news. Painter being a man of his word there. But somebody's going to have to step out of the way with their scholarship that's currently on scholarship, because Purdue stands right now with 13 and you can only have 12. So the thing that I liked about that On3 ranking, though, them being 19th, is to me, that seems like a little bit better place for them to be after losing a generational player, losing Lance Jones, and losing Mason Gillis, losing quite a bit of Ethan Morton, losing quite a bit of the production from last year's team that went to the national championship. Still feels weird to say that. So I think number 19 makes some sense. I think 13 to 15, 13 to 17 is probably a pretty good place to rank our Boilermakers right now. But 19 is not bad. I think on three is pretty thoughtful in that ranking. Next thing, I wanted to talk again, and I think this is like the third time I've talked about Jacobson, incoming freshman for Purdue, 7'3" player, who in the under the U18 team, I believe. I think U18 team, he in his debut against real teams, he had 9 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Pretty darn good performance for Daniel Jacobson. A lot of the college basketball world reacted with horror as they say, oh my gosh, Purdue's done it again. They've got another 7-footer. We already knew it happened. We knew it was skilled, but we learned even a little bit more about him just recently. Pardon me. Another thing that got my attention, football uniforms. Purdue is going to move on from their 6-year-old uniforms. There still hasn't been an announcement or a release of what the new uniform looks like, much to the chagrin of people like me who like that stuff in the off season. I'm hoping that Coach Walters and company and Nike get together, put something together that's good. I actually liked the last uniforms. I never liked the ones with contrast shoulder, the anthracite with the charcoal or the urine gold with the charcoal. Never did anything for me. Maybe it's just me. Purdue's going to move on from those and the very, very, very wide, chunky numbers, the font that they use on those. And finally, let's see, there's one more thing I want to get to before the biggest story, and that is Lance Jones is trying out for the Pacers, working out for the Pacers the last couple days, and hopefully he gets some sort of contract so you can see what he can do. What an amazing rise, though, for Lance Jones. I think Purdue served its purpose in that it got the attention of a lot of pro scouts and showed that he can be a difference maker. The big problem he's got is that he's not the greatest shooter. We know that. But we also know what makes him great, his intensity. He's a great teammate. He's a guy that can defend a lot of different types of players. So hopefully Lance Jones gets a little bit of a look. I think it's a long shot at this point, but everybody's pulling for him and hoping that Lance, it'd be great. If he was in Indiana, I got a 2-way contract, that'd be amazing. So we'll see. We'll see what the NBA and Lance's next chapter have in store. So the biggest story to me in the last few days was, I think it was on, I don't know when Rich Eisen did this, but I believe it was the end of last week. Rich Eisen reacted to some comments made by Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Sankey had a meeting like all conference heads, I believe. I think they all got together and talked about some of the issues ahead with NIL, the transfer portal, some of the lack of regulation, the things that are not going great in the eyes of many fans and many boosters and many programs. And he said he handled it in a way where he stayed quiet. He didn't speak up. He wanted to hear everybody else speak up. And he really wanted to hear these other schools, these other conferences specifically, talk about their problems and what their issues were with the NIL, because the SEC has a big one, it sounds like. They have a problem with the fact that this is unregulated, unfettered, and unsustainable. And nobody spoke up and said anything. And supposedly that led to Sankey being pretty upset and saying, what are we doing? And then he's speaking up, and then bigger than that, speaking up at that convention, is he set up some meetings, some regular conversations is what he called them, with Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner. This is noteworthy, right? Because what this does, it points us in the direction of something Anish has talked about for a long time, the Super League. When will it happen? How can it happen? A lot of people talk about this idea of a Super League when, NCAA is obviously going to, we talked about this last episode, that players being on a payroll from the university is an inevitability now. It's coming. The money's being set aside. They're starting to put together some structure. I'm sure it won't be enough because it's NCAA. But the big thing is football is so lucrative. Football has the ability to break away altogether from the NCAA like basketball can't. And basketball needs the NCAA tournament, obviously, very much. But football's its own animal. And football can get around some of the problems with Title IX regulation, for instance, because there is no female equivalent of football. The question that I have for this, if this Super League starts forming, is one, is it as simple as the Big Ten and the SEC breaking away, forming their own conference with their own regulations, that sort of thing, that where they say, you know, we're going to deal with all this stuff on our own, and we don't really need the NCAA anymore. There's obviously a lot of contracts ahead of them with different bowl games and championships and all that. That will have to be worked out. And I believe Sankey's an attorney. A lot of these guys are attorneys. They understand the law much better than I do. But the big ramifications that I don't understand is what does this do to college sports in general? And I still don't get how you can have just one sport break away. Obviously, it would be smart if just one sport broke away and they could handle for instance, the gigantic Big Ten issue with the conference stretching from the Pacific to the Atlantic. That's the logistics, the money it's going to take to fly a softball team in the middle of the week to Los Angeles from Maryland. That's a huge deal that has to be crossed by the conference thanks to this expansion. Football, not as much of a big deal to solve that issue, right? That number one, there's a lot more money coming in. Number two, it's games are once a week. Even if they're Friday or even Thursday, games are once a week. Speaking of that, you probably saw this. Purdue will be playing Oregon on a Friday night. I'm not a big fan of that because it affects – it's directly in the crosshairs of our yearly fall break trip to Hilton Head. So I may not even be in Ross Aid for the big game versus Oregon, which really stinks. That's one I was looking forward to, probably like you. But anyway. So Eisen said his idea is that he thinks it's pretty much inevitability that the Super League is coming, and it's just a matter of time before when it's announced. And these little meetings between the Big Ten and the SEC are the big first step that way before we go that way. We'll see. And I think he's right that something is going to change major. I think Greg Sankey has done a really good job being proactive and protecting the SEC. I believe Tony Petitti's already done a pretty good job as Big Ten commissioner. I never thought Warren had a good grasp on different things. He was good with media deals, obviously, but some of his stuff, the way COVID was handled, was not proactive at all. And so I was never a big Warren guy. I feel like the conference is in really good hands right now. And I like the fact that Sankey and Petitti are talking.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, okay, enough of that. So let's talk about bourbon. Let's talk about Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond bourbon. Here's the bottle, in case you haven't seen that. One thing that's noteworthy on this, so if you drink bottled and bond bourbon, you know that it must be 4 years old at least and 100 proof. So the really noteworthy thing to me about this one, this specific bottled and bond bourbon by Heaven Hill, was that it's 7 years old. And when you get an age up above, if you don't drink a lot of bourbon, if you get above, start getting above 5-6 years, you're starting to get something that finishes a little bit smoother. So that's a really, really good start. I think I told you guys before, I tend to lean towards rye right now. Drink a little bit more of high proof rye right now. So this a little bit different. So what I'm going to do, and I may, this will be maybe what I start doing on these shows. If I do these regularly, if we'll see how what you guys say in the comments about the bourbon bar here, is I will, I'll try it out of here neat. And then I'm going to drink it over ice, which is my preferred way of drinking bourbon. So first off, a lot of caramel down right there. Which is a good start for me. Doesn't smell like really heavy alcohol, which is good. Yeah, that's got a really good smooth finish. A lot of oak to it, if you like oaky bourbons. Got a nice darker amber color to it. Kentucky Hug is legit there too. On that, the 100 proof, it's not the best behaved 7-year bourbon I've ever had. And the burn sticks around a little bit, but the flavor is really, really good. Really good. And, but if you don't like the burn of a higher proof bourbon, like if you don't drink a lot of 100 proofs and you get this bourbon, it might put you on your heels a little bit. I bet it'll open up with the ice here in a second. And I'll try that. One thing I'd like to do too is maybe get a little interaction. If you guys have tried, if you've tried this specific bourbon, leave me your comments in the live chat over here. And we can talk about a little bit about it too. It looks like some of you guys are tuned in live, which I appreciate. Not a ton. We are still in the off season. So this is kind of the experimental portion of the BS programming as we, the new existence in the Believe Network kind of comes about. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'd call that a pretty solid bourbon. I don't know if I'm going to rate these. I don't know how that's going to work. But, yeah. So, cheers to you. Boiled Sports Rock Glass, which you can't get them anymore. Because Jay did such a good job putting this together. If you don't know about the history of the Rocks Glass, the Boiled Sports Rocks Glass, I'm not trying to taunt you. Or maybe I am. But many of you have them. I had a couple. My wife broke one inadvertently, and so now I've just got one left. And I'm not the only one of you out there, one of BSers that doesn't have your set of two that you once ordered. But you can't get them anymore, sadly. The shipment of Rocks glasses, if you've ever shipped anything, if you've ever been involved in that sort of logistics, not easy and not super cheap either, because you got to pack them well enough that they don't break. Yeah, that's good bourbon. That's a solid performer, I'd call that. So, so the Boiled Sports Rocks Glass is something that is a collector's item at this point. And I know my pal Chris Harder has a couple. I don't know who all has them, but Jay did a really good job shipping them. I think we only had one or two break, maybe four of them break in transit, but it wasn't easy. That's the whole thing. He had to pack them really, really well. He got a special packing thing that was made for shipping glass. And but I think they're kaput. I don't even know if he's got much of a reserve of them anymore. For a while, he had a couple extra, and I think Anish shattered two of them, or Michael, one of those. And so then he hooked them up with a couple, so... Let me look at the comments before I break away from this. What do we call it? It's not a quick cast. It's a bourbon bar. Ava Helvey, like I said, was first on here. Ted Berkey says boiler up. Kevin Bryant, he says he's first, but he was third. And then he corrects himself. He was not first. Boiler Bugle calls this boiler down after dark. Yeah, we could call it that. I mean, the funny thing is it's 10 o'clock right now. And during the basketball season, if you'll remember, I was recording or streaming, pardon me, pretty darn late, especially down the stretch of that season. You know, like there were days I was streaming well into the morning, you know, 1:30 a.m., pardon me, because I'd get home from the game or I'd be watching it someplace else or something like that. I think many times, though, if I went to a game or I believe I did this. Yeah, I believe I came back from Detroit and streamed. That was a late one. So 10 o'clock, I know we're in a summer rhythm. The summer doldrums are deep in the blood right now, but we'll get back into practice. So it's somewhat late. And also the handsome hour was a nine o'clock ish, 9:30 show generally. So just got to get back into practice. That's all. Ava Helvey says, because I talked to her about the topic. It's not just being produced sports. Ava's a great fan, by the way. And she's got nobody in her family that goes to Purdue. So, but she is just a fan by proxy and she's awesome. But Ted Berkey says, I'm sad that I tried to buy a Final Four Purdue bottle, but they won't ship to Tennessee. The way they ship liquor to me is kind of a mystery still. You know, like there are some places you can't get a lot of stuff. You'd think getting it to Tennessee would be really easy, but, I didn't order one of those bottles. I don't remember. Was it a $60 bottle? I think it was. John Best says Purdue and bourbon boiled after hours. This is kind of a nice thing. We'll see how it goes. I don't know. I've got enough bourbons and ryes in the cabinet. This one I opened today, but I've got enough in the cabinet that I could do a decent amount of shows. And I don't drink a lot of bourbon, especially when I'm by myself. I don't have a lot of bourbons by myself. The only time I was really drinking bourbon by myself, honestly, like physically by myself, was during post games during the regular season when I said, okay, I'll drink bourbons after as a celebration. But we were all together, so that's the same thing. But I always try to say, okay, I don't drink bourbon ever if it's bad circumstances. This is my own personal rule. And I also don't drink bourbon by myself ever. So stuff sits for a while if I don't have a pal to share it with. And I love opening a new bottle of something like this with somebody I know and talking through it. It's pretty fun. Frail Hammer says, the Razor won. Yeah. If you didn't tune in, this is a little bit of growth. It's starting to come back. Yeah, Razor won. And it was a test, and I failed the test. I tried to go beardless. I used to try it more regularly. My daughter hates it. My wife hates it. Maybe you've grown facial hair and you've had the same thing, same reception from your family. Never a good feeling. Hearing someone say, yeah, not that. Not your that's too much face showing. Yeah, that hurts. Cuts right to the middle. Ted Berkey says, according to On3, someone will get paid in NIL instead of scholarship, supposedly, an in-state student. And that makes a lot of sense. And that's what we talked about a little bit in that that the episode where I guessed that would be the solution. The thing that's wild to me is if you think about that, since that's not regulated, that's just rot for teams just packing a war chest of players, right? Obviously, players can transfer whenever they want, but if you don't have to have a scholarship, you can just use an NIL. Seems like it'd be pretty easy to get around the rules. I think it's smart for Purdue to do it right now since there is no regulation around that. But no roster limitations, why not, right? So, I mean, Purdue's had as many as, 15, 16 players on the roster, including walk-ons. So why not have more skilled guys? And if it is Waddell, if he ends up staying with the usage of NIL, that's awesome. That's great. That'd be tremendous usage of the NIL. That's using it the right way, in my opinion. He's got a lot of reasons to stay at Purdue, and I'm excited for him, regardless of how he does. So I'm hoping he's here. Greg McManus says, hey, all. Glad you're here, Greg. Ted Berkey says, I like the Glencairn glass. Yeah, I've got a couple of those. Remember during the basketball season, someone got really angry at me for using a Glencairn with ice in it, and I said, well, kind of suck it. Yeah, I like the Glencairn glass for a lot of reasons. I like the shape of it. I feel very, very, I feel kind of big time when I'm sipping out of it. Regardless of using it wrong and using ice, I still do it. Let's see. Ted Berkey says, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Greg McManus says, join late. Which is it? So, yeah, Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Like I said, it's a seven-year-old bourbon. So, it's pretty good, but If you didn't hear that, it's got a little bit of warmth at the end. The 100 proof, you feel it a little bit. I think I'm very used to drinking the ryes that are a little better behaved and a little bit more money. Like this is, I believe, $40, $45 bottle. So you can't expect too much of that good behavior in the finish, right? Because they're just But I thought with that 7 years, it might be a really, really nice finish, but a little hot. Not bad, just a little hot. Let's see, Greg McManus says they are fragile. Handle with care. I think that's is that French? Is that from that movie? Don't they say, ooh, it's French. So they are fragile. Just like the lamp. Jack O'Leonard 22. Look at this. Every night is Friday night in the B Dowd household, bottoms up. Thank you, Jay. It's a Tuesday, so it's kind of like a Friday. And I think it's funny. So Jay talks about this. We talked about this behind the curtain. After Handsome Hour, you know, I'll have a bourbon during Handsome Hour. And I think Jay, most nights he won't drink during the Handsome Hour because he's got school the next day. He's got to work. I don't know. A single bourbon during a weeknight doesn't bother me at all. Like the next morning or anything like that. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but yeah, I don't see this as, you know, going over and above or anything like that. But yeah, we're not tipping any more than one back. So thank you for your concern, Jay. John Best says, take a sip to not worrying about losing Coach Painter to a bigger program or another home. Yeah, cheers. Agreed. And that's one thing that it's pretty nice. It's been a long time since the threat of Painter going to Missouri happened. A lot of people say that was just brilliant marketing or negotiation by Painter's agent, who has done a great job for Matt. If you don't know it, Matt has a rolling lifetime contract, if I understand it correctly. But the terms are pretty quiet. Purdue keeps those quiet. Painter keeps them quiet. Babinski keeps them quiet. Painter's paid pretty darn well. And if you don't know this as well, Purdue does some pretty creative things with the money they pay coaches. It doesn't just come straight out of the athletic department. They have another, what do they call it, the research something, where additional money goes to those coaches. That's part of the package. And I think there's multiple reasons for that. But yeah, Painter's doing quite well. And there's, I saw on Instagram, had a thing about Matt Painter's house about a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I thought that was really interesting. It's a nice house. No surprise there. Let's see. Mr. Matt DSM says, any tattoo updates? That's a good question. So I think I told you, I've got it designed. I haven't had it done yet. And there's really no good reason for not doing it other than I'm not in I don't have much of a sense of urgency right now. But I'm pretty positive I've got the design set. I just have not had it completed yet, executed. So when it is executed, I will show it off. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be my second tattoo. So the third maybe will be Jay Money's face on my shoulder, just because he's a special guy to me. And speaking of that, he says, yes, he has a tattoo started of Edie as a centaur. Yeah, that'd be a big centaur. That'd be much of my back. My son and I were talking about terminology, you know, slang. And if you don't know the terms, glazing. And I was saying it a bunch just to be a jackass, before my son went out this evening, and we were trying to explain to my wife what glazing was. And he said, well, you glaze, you say glaze on or glaze Edie. And I said, is that kind of like jocking pretty much? Right. And I said, whatever. I said, without Zach Edie, there's no Final Four. Without Zach Edie, there's no national championship game. And he said, same thing for you and Drew Brees. I said, okay, fair points. And I said, yeah, Drew Brees is pretty special for me as a Purdue fan because of how much of a good ambassador he's been for Purdue football and Purdue in general. But on top of that, the guy puts his money where his mouth is. He's given a lot of money back to Purdue. And without Drew Brees, there's no Rose Bowl. So Purdue waits way too long between Rose Bowl visits. Okay, next one. Motor City Boiler says, not first. Not even close. That's correct. Greg Manis says, Mizzou watch. Good times. Another time, Danny Boy took a swing and a miss on Purdue News. Yeah, that was a dark couple of days, though, right? I mean, I think everybody was nervous. Every Purdue fan I knew was nervous at some level. And I remember the press conference after he got what he wanted. Really, you know, remember, if you think back, what Painter wanted was not only a little bit more money for him, but really more than that, he was fighting for his assistant coaches because Morgie wasn't giving Painter what he needed to succeed for from a coaching staff standpoint, to keep guys around, to get the right coaches, that sort of thing. I think he had a very strong staff at that point, but it's gotten stronger since then, and the coaching tree shows it, right? Guys have come through Purdue just to go get a chance elsewhere, and the program has shown the strength because of it. Let's see. Motor State Boiler says, did I get a facelift? I look different. Yeah. Yeah, tons of pulling and tugging. You can see by all that Sharpay-like skin on my face that I got a facelift. Yeah, it definitely looks different without the beard. There's no doubt. Like I said, the beard's coming back. Just a matter of time. It'll be a couple quick casts before it'll all look back to normal. Mr. Matt DSM says, J-Money watching your back. Yeah, J-Money, always like a little angel on my shoulder. That's the way I think of him anyway. Greg Manis says, Jay, now I want nothing more than the centaur tattoo. I don't think that's going to happen. And finally, Mr. Matt says, and now look at where Purdue and Mizzou are program-wise for basketball. Yeah, Mizzou's gone through a lot since then, and Purdue really has just steadied the ship, right? I wish I could look at the timeline when that happened. Okay, that was before the swoon, right? Where Purdue had the 2 years where, if I'm thinking correctly, I believe that's before Purdue had the lousy years. Yes, it is. I'm positive because I think this was right. Was it right after Hummel? Right in that time frame. Maybe before. It's before Hummel and them graduated. Maybe some of you guys can help me in the comments. But regardless, Purdue kind of had a dip. And if I'll be real honest, there's record of me saying Purdue should move on from Matt Painter at that point because I think the talk was warranted. Purdue should have thought about that. Purdue's finishing in the last third of the Big Ten, maybe in the very last place of the Big Ten, should never happen in basketball ever, let alone for 2 years in a row to be one of the worst teams in the league. That's horrendous. And regardless of the reasons, there was a lot going on off court, on court. Players were not good fits. A lot of bad things were happening right now, right there in the program. And that's really the rockiest time in Purdue basketball in the last 20 years. But yeah, 2013, 2014. Thank you, Greg. So Ted Berg says it was after 2011, Hummel might've transferred to Mizzou. Yeah. I mean, you've heard how fond Hummel is of Painter, and we saw it at the, in Detroit, his comments after that game. If you haven't gone back and watched that since that weekend, I highly suggest watching Hummel's comments and listening to that again. Just the closeness that Hummel has, and his thoughts, his high praise for Matt Painter, and the story about Hummel having him live with him for a summer as he was recovering from I think it was one of the knee surgeries, not back. Hummel's I think legit has a ton of respect for Painter. So sorry for that clinging on the mic stand there, but yeah. So I think that's about it. That's so 30 minutes. That's not too bad. Especially for a little bit of content and a little bit of bourbon. And I hope you, I would say if, I don't know if I should grade these bourbons.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's out because if I were gonna grade this 1 to 10, team 10 being Blanton's or we'll say Blanton's. I think Blanton's one of the best ones. If 10, 10's Blanton's, and I would put this at probably a 6, 5.5, 6. So it's good. It's solid. Okay. I won't lament to have to drink this or finish this. That said, let's bump it up. Let's say it's a seven. I'll be generous. Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Boiler Doubt says it's a 7, and that's not too bad. And if any bourbon any bourbon suppliers out there want to sponsor Boiled Sports, hit us up on the Twitter or on the DMs, as they say. We'll talk. We'll talk. I would gladly review a bourbon if you want to buy me a bottle of bourbon. That's another thing I'll do. So, solid as a W. What? Yeah, solid as a W. I agree. Big yard. 0000. So it's a solid bourbon. So that's about it. I've got some others that I'm going to try that I've already tried, which is a little bit anticlimactic. But when I tried them, I wasn't digging into the flavor of the bourbon. Like I said, a quick synopsis, got caramel flavors on the front end, a little bit of vanilla, very oaky, right after that. And then the alcohol, is a little warm. The back of the tongue, the Kentucky hug. It's not the most behaved finish of a 7-year bourbon. That's my call. So, but it's good, sippable, easy one to drink. I would say this is more of a, for me, because of that warm Kentucky hug, I'd say that's a little more of a warm, a cool weather bourbon. There's some, lighter bourbons that I like to drink in the summer if I'm just sitting out sipping, bourbon on ice. And I wouldn't call this one of those. I would say this would be a really nice late September, early October performer. It'd be a tailgate bourbon. So that's about it. Thank you for tuning in and dealing with me. God bless you. Hammer down. We'll talk to you soon. I don't know when, but I'll talk to you soon. That's a promise. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.